Welcome to Vintage Voices, a production of the Radio Players of the Theater Company of Sun City. This program comes to you twice a week, Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. on WHRU-LP 101.5 FM, Huntley Community Radio. Currently, we are presenting classic plays in the mystery genre in the voices of our own actors. Today's play is After the Movies, part of the suspense series that aired on CBS stations for 20 years beginning in 1942. Our cast features Myron Schellest as Al Benning, Kathy Collada as Ann Benning, Ed Gordon as Idelson, Dave Strang as Dan, Mary Lou Chamberlain as Mrs. Gillespie, George Marcotte as Mickey, Kevin Fenner as Ellis, and Dick Bruett as Farley. I am Ed Dennis, also playing the role of Gino. After the Movies is directed by Jan Dennis and recorded and prepared for broadcast by Jim Eggers and Lauren Argall.
It's funny how you can live your life, be honest and law-abiding, and then get tested. Make a mistake and you just wish you could undo it all. Take the test over, but you can't, and it causes things to happen that you never, ever wanted to happen. 2 weeks before our 27th wedding anniversary, I was called in for jury duty. Couldn't have happened at a worse time. Just when I should have been saving for retirement, Ann and I found we were barely able to make ends meet. So now I was stuck on a jury, getting $2.50 a day from the state. It was one of those sensational trials that you hear about from time to time. Some pretty big people were mixed up in it. The judge told us jurors not to go out in any public places where we might be approached or influenced. So I'd been sticking close to the hotel. It was a real treat when they said we were free for a couple of days because a witness was sick. Of course, the movie theater is a public place, but Ann didn't think that that would count, and neither did I. And we went to the early show across the street. It was a pleasant evening. There was still some light in the sky when we got out about 9:30.
I thought she was darling. I didn't care too much for him, though.
I didn't think she was too hot either. Say, what's the difference, really? 27 years of marriage, and the best present I can afford to give you is a night at the movies?
Al, I don't want you worrying about that tonight. You've already given me a lovely evening. Besides, have you any idea how many women there are who would love for the husbands to take them to the movies? Pay attention to them? You're the boy for me, Albert. Cheer up. Better days are coming. This is our anniversary.
You're right, Ann. Come on. It's early. Let's stop for some ice cream.
That's better. Let's see. I've got some of those little cakes at home. Some ice cream might go nicely with them.
I don't know if I can go home. I mean, this jury thing, you know.
Oh, you're free for a couple of days. Isn't that what they told you? It's not going to do any harm for you to sleep at home tonight.
Well, maybe not. What kind do you want?
What?
Ice cream.
Chocolate.
Come on.
Well, well, hello there. How are you this evening, folks?
Fine, just fine.
And what can I do for you?
About a quart of ice cream. Chocolate.
Right. Say, how's the trial coming? You're on the jury, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I should have known better than to ask. You know, I'll bet you we've had 5-7 jurors a day come in here from the hotel across the street. Hey, you think you've been on this trial a long time? Some people stay on them for months. Well, I'll tell you what I think about this Harmon fella.
I'm not supposed to listen to you.
Say, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, that'll be 60 cents.
I got it, Ann. Now, what did I do with my wallet? Oh, here's exact change.
That's it, and thank you. Well, now that you know us, I hope you'll trade here even after the trial's over. My name's Idelson.
I'm Al Benning, and this is my wife, Ann.
I'm happy to know you. I hope you'll be through with this thing real soon.
I hope so, too. Good night.
Al?
Yeah?
Look what I found.
What?
An envelope. On the floor, right here.
Somebody dropped something?
Yeah, it's open, too. I wonder if we should, you know, find the owner? Look!
Say!
Money! Bills!
Yeah. Count it, Al.
Hey, that looks like a lot of lettuce. Let me see.
How much is there? Al, how much, Al?
Just a second.
Wow. There must be...
$10,000.
Oh, jeepers.
Who dropped $10,000 on the floor of a drugstore?
$10,000? You mean the envelope was just lying there on the floor?
I almost stepped on it. And then I picked it up and saw there was something in it. Al, what should we do?
Gee, a thing like this? I don't know what to say.
If I was you, I'd keep it. That's what I'd do. And since it was in my store...
Oh, we couldn't do that.
Well, I could. It ain't stealing. You found it. Here. In my store.
We better turn it in.
Look, Mr. Benning, if there's a reward, we'll get together on it, won't we?
There's some kind of note in it.
A note?
Yeah, in with the money. This is your first half as agreed in, blah, blah, blah. No signature. Doesn't make much sense to me.
Me either. Hey, where are you going with that money?
If anybody comes looking for it, we live on 5th Street, 229, 3rd floor.
If there's a reward, we'll see you get your share, Mr. Idelson. Come on, Ann.
Don't worry, Mr. Idelson.
Don't worry. $10,000 is a lot of money.
Ann said there was nothing to worry about, but she wasn't quite feeling as breezy as she sounded. $10,000 is an awful lot of money. Ann was still trying to figure it out when we got home. Now she remembered the note, and she took off from there.
Al, it must mean something.
What?
The note, silly. It was written to somebody. It must mean something to them. After all, it's $10,000.
Let's get on with the ice cream.
Oh, all right. But you act like you're not even curious.
What can I do about it now? Look, Annie, if nobody claims it, we'll put an ad in the paper or something. It's not our worry. Ah, chocolate.
We could keep it, couldn't we? I mean, the law says finders keepers. If nobody can prove it's theirs, we can keep it, can't we?
Well, I guess as far as the law's concerned, we could keep it.
Of course, we'd have to give part of it to Mr. Idelson.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Al. That money belongs to somebody.
All right. If they claim it, all right. If they don't, we won't mind. Why worry about it?
I'm not worrying. It's just that it belongs to somebody. Probably whoever that note was written to.
Uh-huh.
Now listen, listen. This is your first half as agreed in the EH business. But if they are not hung up when the time comes, don't expect to get the rest or stay healthy long. No signature.
No signature.
Al, that last part about staying healthy, that's a threat. That's what it is.
Threat? Well, yeah, it could be.
The man who's giving the money is threatening the man who's getting it. That if he doesn't...
Doesn't what?
Al, don't be so dense. Help me a little. Doesn't do what they're paying him to do. It's a bribe. Don't you see, Al? This money is a bribe.
A bribe? Hey, that's right, Annie. You could be right at that.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. All right, a bribe. And it has something to do with something being hung up. If they are not hung up when the time comes, it says, what could be hung up that's so important to anybody? A jury. That's it. A jury that can't reach a verdict. Al, I bet that's it. Somebody is trying to bribe somebody in a jury to...
To what?
Al, use your imagination. Those initials, E.H., Edward Harmon, the name of the man on trial, the jury that you're on.
One of them? Gee, I don't know, Ann. They all seem like such nice, decent people.
But listen, listen. This is your first half, the $10,000, as agreed in the E.H., that is, the Edward Harmon business. But if they are not hung up, the jury, don't expect to stay healthy.
Yeah, it does make sense, Annie.
Al, we've got to call the police.
The police?
Well, sure. This is jury tampering. We've got to report it right away.
Maybe I should just give it to the district attorney in the morning.
No, don't you see, Al? You're on that jury. If we delay telling them for even an hour, they may think you have something to hide.
No, I think we better wait until morning.
If you don't phone them, I will. Right away. Now.
Well, I hope you're right.
Of course I'm right. I don't know what's gotten into you.
Yes, my name is Albert H. Benning. That's right. I live at 229 Fifth Street. Yeah. I want to report something to you. There's a drugstore across the street from the courthouse, and my wife and I were in there earlier this evening, and my wife found something.
It's been over a half hour. I don't know whatever could be taking so long. You did tell the police it was $10,000.
You heard me.
Well, look out again and see if you see them yet. That must be them now, Al.
I'll go.
I must say, they took their time about it.
Good evening, gentlemen. Come in.
Thanks.
You Mr. Benning? Albert H. Benning?
That's right. This is my wife.
How do you do?
Yeah. How do you do?
Hi.
I sort of expected to see someone in uniform.
Uniform?
Yes, you gentlemen are from the police, aren't you?
No. No, we're not.
Oh?
You expecting the police, lady?
Yes, we were.
Better not take too much time, Gino.
I think you people got something that belongs to us. Something you found in the drugstore on the corner.
Oh?
We lost it there. Druggist told us you had it.
Well, we did find something, yes.
Let's see if I can describe it to you. $10,000 in 500s in a white envelope. Sound familiar?
Well, I guess it's theirs, all right.
Yes, but...
But what?
Well, I'm sure it's yours.
We'd better just give it to him, Ann. It's here on the table.
The lady's got a problem with that?
I don't think so. Do you?
No, not at all.
Well, let's have it.
Here we are. We were going to return it.
Uh-huh. Mickey, better count it. Make sure nobody's getting cute.
Well, we would have returned that money. Really, we would. We had no idea what kind of money that was or where it came from.
Sure.
Hey, Gino, guess what? The note's gone.
Well, well.
The note?
Yeah, there was a note.
Yes.
You read it.
Oh, we glanced through it, of course. We thought it might tell us who the money belonged to.
And it did, didn't it?
No. Oh, no.
Come on, Mrs. Benning.
Now, wait just a minute.
This is a gun, Mac.
The note told you the dough was a payoff, didn't it? Didn't it?
Yes.
To juice somebody in the Harmon trial, didn't it?
Yes.
And you were going to call the cops, weren't you?
I don't listen, you.
He's talking to the lady.
How about it, Mrs. Benning?
Yes, that's right.
Kind of puts us on the spot.
Better snap it up, Gino.
Relax, we got time. Where are you from, Mrs. Benning? I mean, where do your folks live? What part of the country?
Why, Washington. Spokane, Washington.
All right. Mr. Benning, you go on down to that trial just as though nothing had happened. Anybody ask you about your wife? You tell them she's gone on a little visit to her folks in Spokane.
Visit to my folks?
The case will go to the jury on Friday. If everything goes like it should, your wife will be back here safe and sound first thing Monday morning.
Oh, good Lord.
But you can't do a thing like this. You can't.
We'll do whatever it takes.
Be reasonable about this, Mrs. Benning. You people know too much.
But we wouldn't say anything. I promise. I swear it.
Now, how can we take a chance like that? Mr. Harmon is up on very serious charges. Better get your things together, Mrs. Benning. You're going with us.
We ain't got all night, though.
Ow!
We better do what he says, Ann.
That's more like it. And I'll take that note, Mr. Benning, before I forget it. Thanks. I hope you understand our position. Don't worry. You play ball and your wife will be okay. But if you don't...
You can't. You can't do that.
Oh, but we can. And Mr. Benning, just so you know, we're not kidding each other. One word to the authorities, and you can kiss your wife goodbye.
After they left, I just sat there. Maybe another guy would have rushed right off and done something, but I couldn't. I had to think. It all happened so suddenly, in less than an hour. The whole thing, from picking up the money on the floor of the drugstore to those gangsters arriving and claiming the money and taking Ann as hostage. I left home, sneaking out the back way, took the side streets, and went to the office of the chief of detectives.
So you came down here.
What are we sitting here for? Oh, why don't we do something?
We gotta know what we're gonna do before we start doing it. Anyway, from what you told me, I don't think she'll be in any real danger.
No real danger? She's been kidnapped by gangsters.
But why? That doesn't make any sense to me yet.
I told you, the money was some kind of bribe. They thought we knew about it.
But you didn't.
How could we? Ann just picked up the money off the floor.
It said that you'd have her back by Monday.
That's what they said. You can believe them if you want to, but she's my wife.
Okay. What did these two cookies look like?
I don't know. Average size, I think. I don't remember what they looked like.
You catch their names?
I didn't ask them.
You're not going to be much help, are you? It's all right. By the way, my name is Dan.
Oh, yes. Mine's Al.
You'll probably be seeing quite a lot of me in the next day or two, so we might as well get acquainted. And Al?
Yeah?
Take it easy. We'll find your wife.
His being friendly like that made me feel a lot better, but we still weren't doing anything. First, they got out a lot of pictures, and we had to go through all of those. Of course, I told him I couldn't recognize anybody, and then he started making phone calls. It was after 2 o'clock when I finally got to bed. Next morning, I was to meet Dan back at the drugstore to question Idelson. When I arrived, Dan was already there. Idelson wasn't due in for another half hour, so Dan and I sat at the counter and ordered coffee.
Think of any details last night?
No, not really.
Anything you can think of, no matter how insignificant, could help. Police work isn't like it is in the movies, usually, you know, bang, bang, ba-bang. There's a lot of routine and attention to detail. Being lucky sometimes helps.
How long you been a cop, Dan?
Let's see. 16 years on September 12th. Been a detective for 7.
7 years. That's a long time.
That's one way of looking at it. There's also a lot of dirtballs, scumbags, grifters, chiselers, liars, thugs, you name it. I've seen them all.
What makes somebody a criminal?
I don't know. Some of them are born that way, I suppose. You know, sick in the head. Others gotta practice at it. It's like anything else. If you rob enough banks or run enough scams, you get pretty good at it, if you don't get caught. And those are the ones that are fun to catch. Like that Eddie Harmon. I'd have loved to have been in on that. Of course, a certain percentage are basically as honest as the next guy, most of the time.
What do you mean?
Some average Joe citizen who sees a chance to grab some candy, forgets himself, and gets in trouble. Those are the ones who are not so fun to catch. Yet I'm feeling sorry for them. But anybody can have a weak moment. Like you.
Me?
Yeah. You thought of keeping that 10 grand, didn't you? It crossed your mind, didn't it? Maybe you even tried to figure an angle.
Well, I guess...
It's all right. You're only human. $10,000 is a lot of money. But you made the right call. Can't say it's done you any good, but a guy who's grabbing a candy would have kept the 10 grand and shut up. You didn't do that.
I guess I wouldn't have felt right. The way Dan looked at me made me feel nervous, like he suspected me somehow. We had finished our coffee when Idelson showed up. Dan showed him his badge and started asking questions. Idelson was eager to help.
I tell you, Lieutenant, it was right there on the floor. Right there.
Yeah, but when you talked to these two men.
Oh, yes. Well, I talked to them, the one that is, and he said he lost an envelope, he thought, in my store. And I said, yes, we found it, and Mr. Benning had it.
So you talked to him?
Yes.
What did he look like?
Well, now, how can I tell what he looked like when he called me on the telephone?
Okay, I guess that's all, Mr. Idelson.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I wish I could help
you. That's perfectly all right.
But if there's anything else that you think I could...
We'll call you.
Hey, Mr. Benning.
Yeah?
Did you tell him about the note?
Note?
Yeah, the note that was in with the money.
So there was a note?
Yeah, it was in with the money. Wasn't it, Mr. Benning?
Well, what about it, Al?
Well, I'm sorry. I guess I forgot. We drove back to 5th Street and parked there in front of the apartment. Dan hadn't said a word. As we waited in the lobby, we were greeted by Mrs. Gillespie, our neighbor on the first floor. She had seen Ann get off the elevator last night with two men and was curious about it.
So I wondered where Mrs. Benning could be going with them at that hour. And carrying her suitcase, too. Like she was going on a long trip.
That was approximately 10:30.
That's right. Police?
Uh-huh.
I thought so.
You get a good look at them?
Oh, yes. Well, pretty good. I had the door to my apartment open. I like to see what's going on, you know. And I saw Mrs. Benning and these two men get off the elevator.
Uh-huh.
They had their hats pulled down. They were both well-dressed. Dark blue suits. The one was kind of thin, maybe 5'10", and wore rimless glasses. Looked kind of like an accountant to me. He was good-looking, though. Kind of snappy. Stylish. The other man, the bigger one, was a little more flashy somehow. He was over 6 feet. Beefy, too. And, oh, I could see he had red hair.
Red hair, huh? You hear any names?
Well, now that you mention it, yes. The big guy called the other one Gino.
Gino.
That's right. Funny I didn't think of that.
Both men in dark suits with hats, a thin, good-looking one in glasses, and a beefy six-footer with red hair. The smaller one's name is Gino.
I hope I helped you.
That was a pretty good description, Mrs. Gillespie. Thank you very much.
I'm glad I could do it. Oh, and Mr. Banning.
Yes?
I do hope your wife is going to be all right.
We got off at my floor, and I unlocked the apartment, and we went in. Dan prowled around, poking into the closets and bureaus, but not saying a word. Then he came out of the living room, sat down in the big armchair, and looked straight at me.
All right, Al. What about the note?
Well, I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't think it was important. You're not sore, are you?
Me? What have I got to be sore about? It's your wife.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, what about the note?
All it said was something like, "This is the first half as we agreed, and no signature."
Have you got it?
Nope, they took it when they took the money.
Uh-huh. You couldn't remember that one was a thin, good-looking guy, about 5'10", with rimless glasses, and the other guy was over 6 feet and had red hair, and that the thinner guy was named Gino? That seems like a lot of forgetting.
But I was upset. I don't even know if I heard his name.
You wouldn't be holding on to me, would you, Al? I mean, you'd know that'd be a sucker's game, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Because if you're trying to protect her, it won't work. You're going to have to trust me.
No, I told you everything I can.
Okay, forget it. Well, let's see. A bribe. That means somebody wants something or is on the spot. An effect will be in by Monday, they say. Now, who is there in this town who employs muscle that would have a deal worth that much dough set for next Monday?
Oh, there could be a million deals like that.
Quiet. Let me think a minute, will you? Gino? Glasses. Big guy with red hair. Sure.
What is it?
Bill Quinlan, the defense lawyer on the Harmon case. Those are his boys.
The Harmon trial?
Sure, you probably read about it. Eddie Harmon's a big-time operator. He's up on fraud and conspiracy charges, dealing with state contracts. One of the governor's cabinet members committed suicide over it, quote unquote. It's a can of worms that's going to stink up a lot of big shots, and they're getting nervous. Eddie Harmon's lawyer is Bill Quinlan. Quinlan's bribed, blackmailed, and intimidated more jurors and witnesses than I've got hairs on my head, if we could ever prove it. Get a couple of witnesses with amnesia or a hung jury, and they let you off the hook. I tell you, if we let a guy like Harmon get his tentacles into the state house, we'll deserve everything we get. That one fellow, Gino, has a law degree, believe it or not. Does a lot of legwork for Quinlan. The other fellow is Mickey Gannon, ex-middleweight. I had him in before. Pleasant fella. Does the bill collecting, if you know what I mean.
This all sounds complicated. Isn't it a little far-fetched?
Well, we know it's tied to the Harmon trial, and that's a start. Say, how did you get mixed up with these cookies? I'll have the boys check the jury list. Where's the phone?
In there. Dan.
Yeah?
Dan, I'm on that jury.
You're what?
Well, I don't you see? If I opened my mouth, they'd kill her. They told me so.
So that's it.
I didn't dare tell you, Dan. I hoped you'd find her without having
Why, you long-legged, thick-headed idiot. Don't you think I've been in this business long enough to know a little better than you? Don't you think I know how to give people protection when I have to? Do you think we go around trying to get people killed? Do you know any more that you haven't told me?
No.
You know who the jurors are trying to bribe?
Nope.
Well, okay. At least now we know where to start looking.
Dan?
Yeah?
You aren't sore at me, are you?
Me? No. What have I got to be sore about?
We knew where to start looking, but it wasn't as easy as that. I was still on the jury, of course, and they didn't dare make a move against Harmon because of Anne. The case went to the jury Friday, and there was still no word of her. Of course, I had to vote not guilty, but as it turned out, the vote was 8-4, so it didn't matter.
With a hung jury, Harmon was scheduled for a new trial anyways. By now, it was Monday, the day Ann was supposed to return, but there was no word. What if they found out the police knew I was on the jury? It was nearly midnight when Dan came to the apartment. He told me to come along with him. He didn't say much until we were way down Avenue C in the Lower East Side.
Don't let it out, fella, but I think we're going to come out all right.
When'd you find out?
About an hour ago. We trailed Harmon. That's why he got bail.
Dan, don't kid me. Are you sure she's...
As sure as we can be. We know where they are. She'll be there. That's the place. Third house down.
Hiya, Inspector.
Okay, boys, here's the play. Ellis, you and Farley, slip around the alley and cover the back.
Okay.
Got it, yeah.
Harris, you and I are going in. Check your watches. In exactly 1 minute.
I want to go with you.
Oh, you better stay outside.
I can't just wait outside.
Listen to me, Al. You're out of shape. You probably never fired a gun before in your life. And you just get in the way. I'm not going to risk it. So stay put.
Okay, Dan.
There's a light on upstairs. They may give you a little reception.
I wouldn't mind it.
They wouldn't do anything to her, would they, Dan?
If you know any prayers, now's the time to use them.
But I couldn't pray. I was afraid. Dan checked his gun, then tried the front door. It was unlocked. He looked at his watch, and he and the other officer went in. I waited outside for an eternity. I wanted to hear the sound of voices, or a struggle, or gunfire, anything. But all I heard was silence. Then Dan came back. He had a look on his face. Dan, how is she? Did you find her?
Al, you better stay out.
Why? What is it?
It's her, Al. Your wife. She's dead.
She was dead. And 3 days later was the funeral. A lot of friends came around and shook hands and looked at me sad. I couldn't stop wondering why. This wasn't the way it was supposed to work out. Dan also came. For a long time, he stood there looking at her and my friends and me.
Hello, Al. How are you doing?
Not so good, Dan. I haven't been sleeping well.
Me either. I went into the station early this morning, and I did something I should have done that first night.
Yeah?
Yeah. I checked the phone logs at the front desk. It was you. Wasn't it, Al?
Me?
You didn't call the police. You called them. I could have saved her life if you hadn't lied to me. That bribe was meant for you, wasn't it?
For me?
You thought you'd grab some candy, but your wife wouldn't go along with it. So you called them, and she thought you were calling the police. Isn't that right? Come on, Al. Spill it.
Yeah. I called them. She was so insistent. I did it for her, to buy her things. I thought when they came, they'd just take the money. Forget the whole thing. But they took the money, and they took her, too.
Say goodbye, Al. You're going to have to come with me.
Thank you for listening to After the Movies, an episode of Suspense by Jack Finney. Join us again next month for our sixth mystery play, The Hitchhiker. Each of our shows may be heard on demand after they air by visiting the Vintage Voices page at www.huntleyradio.com. Also consider seeing the theater company's next stage production, The Red Velvet Cake War, in Drendel Hall from July 26th through 28th. For tickets, call 847-515-8545.